Good morning. Amen. So it's good to be back in Anderson. Thank you, Pastor Cecil, for the invite. And we welcome you, and let me invite you again. Come on out to Shiprock. Anytime you want to go west, well, come see us. All right. We got so many things. If I told you what I always do, I wouldn't have any time to preach. But trust me, we have lots going on. And a lot of good help. I'm putting Cecil's watch out here he gave me because I was looking around for a clock in here and there's not one. In the Indian church, we don't have a clock. We at least have a calendar. I was preaching for Clyde Stockton up in Augusta, Kansas. That's up by Wichita. And I've known Clyde years and years, and I was walking into the church, and I always ask him what I ask every pastor, how much time do I have? And Clyde turns to me and says, oh, please, Brother Freddie, just obey the Holy Ghost. Just whatever God tells you is fine. You're at home. Then he said, but you might want to know, we all leave at 12. Preach as long as you want. We're going to talk about your favorite subject this morning. Money, beso, Navajo. I said it in Navajo, beso, Spanish, peso. moolah, however you want to say it, bread. And I know it's your favorite subject. We did this downstairs, but it's everybody's favorite subject. Till we come to church and then we sit like this. But if you're home and somebody mentions money, we light up. And somebody says, shopping, woohoo! Until it's time to go work, then we go act like we're in church again. No, it's our favorite subject. Everybody likes to talk about it. Let's just do a quick experiment with it, see if I'm in the right place. Look around whoever's sitting close to you, look them straight in the eyes, just like that. Just say one word, money, see if they smile. See, there's smiles all over the place. I can see it from here. Huh? You tried to. The reason people don't clam up, people think in church when you mention money, they think we're trying to get your money. But that's not why I'm here this morning. I'm here to help you to understand how God has made provision to bless you. 3 John verse 2, God says, it's God's will that you prosper. And it's God's will that you have good health as your soul prospers. And that priority, your soul first, then if you have that relationship with God, then you will, everything else will work out all right. Freddie Franks, my friend, pastor at Silver Moon Church up here at Granby, is my friend. He told me one day about the couple in his church who kept inviting their next door neighbors to go to church with them. They didn't go to church. They were Christians, but they didn't go to church. And so they kept inviting them, and they said, no, we don't go to church anymore. We visit every church around, and every church we visit, the pastor always talks about money. That's all they want. All those preachers, they're just after your money. And they said to him, after over a period of time this goes on, and the couple kept inviting them, and every time they said that, well, they'd tell them, you know, our pastor is not like that. Our pastor don't harp on money. Yeah, he preaches on it once in a while, but it's not every service, and he don't make a big deal out of it. Why don't you just come and visit us once? So finally, they gave in, and they went to church, and the pastor got up like I'm up here this morning, and he opened his Bible and he read his text over there where, you know the story where Belshazzar was king of Babylon, and he was an ungodly king and oppressing God's people, and God had enough of it. And God, you remember they were having a big party, and God sent the hand writing on the wall, many, many tekel upharsin. Interpreted means you are found in the balance and found wanting. Then he went on and he preached his message on, you are weighed in the balance and found wanting or lacking. So after church, it was a good service and a good sermon, and everybody went home, and the host couple took their visiting couple out to eat, and they're sitting in a restaurant. And so in the conversation, they asked the question, well, how did you like our church? And they said, well, it was wonderful. It was a really good service. And the music was good, and the worship was good. The people were friendly. It was really good. But, as always, your pastor just couldn't stay off of money. And they were shocked. They said, he never mentioned money. It was not in the sermon. We didn't hear anything about money. They said, well, I know he didn't preach a whole message on it, but he wrote about that hand that wrote on the wall, money, money tickles the parson. So the moral of the story is you'll find what you're looking for. Let me get to this. Before I get into it, how many were here, were downstairs with me, so I know who I'm talking to, okay? Oh, okay, so a lot of you didn't hear what I said downstairs. Okay, so that I will back up a little bit, and for you who were downstairs, bear with me, and you're going to get a little review. And by the way, review is a valid teaching technique. So they don't hear to hear the review. So did we pass these notes out up here, Brother Cecil? Yes, we did. Does everybody have these worksheets that we printed out? Okay. I'm springboarding off of 3 John verse 2. I already quoted it. It's God's will that above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And Cecil did the introduction. It's everybody's favorite. Do you know you spend 75 to 85% of your time either thinking about money, planning how to get money, earning money, budgeting money, or spending money, or wishing you had money? It's a big part of our lives. Most of our life revolves around money. So why should we leave it out of our spiritual life? And it's really impossible. I'm on the Navajo Indian Reservation, and I heard the story about a tent evangelist, white man, Brother Sturridge, had his tent up out on way out on Arizona on Indian Reservation, and he was preaching and teaching the Word of God to the native people years ago. And one afternoon, he lived there. He had a travel trailer. He stayed there with his tent all day. And so he's there in the afternoon, and an old Navajo Indian rode up on his horse. And Brother Sturridge was under the tent doing something. And so he tied his horse up, and he came in and spoke some English. And he asked the old missionary, how much does it cost to become a Christian? And the old missionary kind of played along, and he said, well, how much do you have? And the old Navajo pulled his wallet out, and he had a few bills in there, and he emptied his wallet, and he laid it out there, and he said, is that enough? And the old missionary looked at it, and he said, no, that's not enough. And the old Indian looked there and scratched his head, and he just threw his whole wallet down there. Is that enough? The missionary said, no, that's not enough. So he thought a minute, and he went out, and he unsaddled his horse and brought the saddle in and threw it down there and said, how about that? Is that enough? And the missionary said, no, that's not enough. So he thought a minute, and went out and got the horse, brought the horse in, stood him there, and gave him, said, I give you the horse. Is that enough? And the missionary said, no, that's not enough. So he stood there, and pretty soon he just sat down on the saddle, and he said, okay, I'll just give you the Indian. And the preacher said, that'll do it. God's not after your money. God's after your heart. If God has your heart, he's got the rest of you. And so that's what we're doing. In Malachi 3, the Lord says, return to me, and I will return to you. But you ask, how are we to return? And then God answered with a question. And God asked him, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? And he said, in tithes and in offerings. And one of the reasons I wrote the book is I supervise a lot of Navajo ministers. And after many, many years working with them, I realized that not a single one of them tithes. And so I had this trying to get this across to how and they all have money problems, and they I began to write the book and for their benefit. And after I got into it, and the subject just kept stretching and stretching and stretching, and as I researched and read on it, and so I decided, boy, I think this is a bigger message than just for Navajo preachers. And so I turned it into a book. So God says, how are you, your tithe? There's an old missionary in Mexico named Wayne Myers. Cecil, I think, has met Wayne Myers. I was in Wayne Myers' home in Mexico when I lived in Mexico. And the Wayne Myers preached for us at our convention a few years ago. And he told the story how he was riding with a Mexican pastor through a jungle road down in southern Mexico, and as they were going down the road, the subject turned to tithing, and Brother Myers asked the Mexican pastor, do you tithe? And he said, no, I'm poor, and I preach to poor people, and I can't afford to tithe. And Brother Wayne Myers said, stop this car. Hit the brake. Let me out of this car. And the guy said, no, Brother Myers, I can't let you out here. This is the middle of the jungle, and there's highway robbers, and there's a lot of crime out here, and there's no law. And I can't let you out here in the middle of the jungle walking. A white man, are you kidding? And Wayne said, I don't care. Let me out. Let me out. And the guy said, why do you want out of my car? And Wayne said, you don't tithe. And God says, you're robbing God. He said, I'd rather take my chances with those robbers out there that only rob people than somebody will rob God. Let me out of here. So the guy decided he'd tithe. But read the third chapter of Malachi. I went through that downstairs, but I want to, part of that passage, 7, 8, 9, those verses, God says, try me. It's the only place in the Bible where God dares us to try him on anything. God says, try me. See if I will open the window of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that's more than you can contain. That is not figurative language. That's literal. God, there's two things that are first in that passage. Number one, it's the first time God ever said, dares you to try it. And I put this challenge out downstairs. If you're not a tither, the big hurdle is, how do you start? How do you get started? And I preach in a Native American nation that has 60% unemployment. And there's a lot of people. Not my congregation, because our church has been doing this, and they learn, and God has blessed them. I should give you that testimony. But if you go out in the rural areas, out in Arizona, there's lots of poverty, lots of poverty. And even the churches are poor. We had a meeting with pastors, and I asked them, what is your number one need in your church? And they said, every one of them said, I wish we had an indoor restroom. They all got outhouse, and but my senior moment just kicked in. I lost where I was going with that. But what God is saying is, there's a blessing that comes with tithing, and our people. And when I went to Shiprock, we had hundreds of people, but they were all poor. They were unemployed. That worked good and bad for me. We did a lot of building and always had a lot of volunteer help because nobody had a job. They just come down there and work. But now when I need volunteers, I can't hardly get anybody to show up because everybody's working. Yeah. Everybody's got a job. Back in the early days when I first started preaching this to Navajo people, You should see that parking lot. It was the raggedest looking bunch of cars out there you ever seen. Different color fenders on each car and broken windows and duct tape. They say you can't run the reservation without duct tape and baling wire. But as I taught to poor people, the Word of God does not care whether you're rich or poor or in between. The Word of God is the Word of God. And it'll work. For rich or poor and across social lines, across economic lines, across, it doesn't matter. The Word of God is living and it works. Yes. And so I've never been easy on our church on tithing. But you know what? Today, I was looking at your offering up there. I'm about to catch you. Because people tithe and God's blessing. And it's blessed the church. When I went to Shiprock, and I'm just bragging on Jesus here. I went to Shiprock. We started from scratch with nothing. I lived in a little fifth wheel travel trailer. Our pickup was 10 years old. And we lived in that trailer in winter and summer. It was cold in the winter and hot in the summer. And a little dirt floor church had one light bulb, one door, one light bulb, and the light bulb was way back there. I couldn't see it to read the scripture up here. But I taught the people. That's not the only thing I taught, but it's in the context of what we do. God will bless you. And God did bless. I've got people that are upper income people now as far as in Shiprock. Shiprock's the largest Native American community in America. Our church is the largest congregation, as Cecil mentioned, on the reservation. And we have a lot of white-collar jobs in Shiprock. We have the big Indian hospital is there in Shiprock. We draw a lot of personnel from the hospital, nurses, and we've had several doctors, and doctors kind of come and go because they're in Shiprock a short time. We've had teaching staff from the college, the Naval College is in Shiprock, big campus. We have a lot of personnel, teachers, instructors, and other administrative people from the college comes to our church. These are stable people, has real jobs. The college librarian is a member of our church. We have one lady who's been with us from the day one, 20 years ago, single woman who got a hold of the principle of tithing. Let me tell you Roz's story. Roz got she had a terrible marriage. She was married to a man who was worthless. He would not support them. He would not support. He never had a job. His only income was selling drugs. But Roslyn, a Navajo woman, she had four little kids. She decided, and she was working minimum wage jobs, but she decided to raise her education, and she went to college and earned her bachelor degree at Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado. She went on and got her master's degree. Now she's administrator at the college. She runs their department for challenged people. There's a lot of help for them, and she's the one that knows and hooks the help up with the people and counsels and advises. And right now she's been running our prayer ministry, by the way, for 18 years, intercessors. And I can get sidetracked here just talking about Roz, but this woman, now she's enrolled in a doctorate program to earn her PhD, Navajo gal. But she decided early on, when she heard me teach on tithing, she was going to be a tither. And her husband, she never knew where he was. She found out he had at least one other family in Farmington. And it was up to her to raise those four kids and make a living for them. So she did. She just took a deep breath and said, I'm going to stay in covenant with God, and I'm going to claim the promise of God that God is going to open the window of heaven and pour out a blessing on me that's more than I can contain, and go for it. I believe she's had, every time she's got a dollar, she's paid a dime. And God has blessed her. She needed a home not long after she started tithing. And homes are hard to come by on the reservation. The government has some programs to help people get it, but it's administrated by the Navajo government, and there's a lot of fraud and corruption. For example, there's a big deal in the paper just about 3 weeks ago. They discovered $1.8 billion is missing. That's federal FHA money that was designated for housing on the res, and nobody knows where it's gone. They built 91 houses with it in Shiprock, and the bureaucracy was such they wouldn't let anybody live in. And one family moved into one of them, but they sat there and got vandalized, and the other day they brought dozers in and dozed down 90 houses, brand new houses nobody's ever lived in. That's the kind of corruption that's there. But Rosalind was believing God for a home for those four kids and herself. She was living with her mother. And she had to fill out an application with the department called Navajo Housing Authority. She brought over to my house and asked us, Nancy and I, if we'd pray with her and agree with her, God's going to give her a house. Because the promise is, God says, I'll open the window of heaven and pour out a blessing on you more than you can contain, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. And so we laid our hands, literally laid our hands on that application and agreed with her that God is going to give her a house. Week one went past, first month passed, second month, about 9 months passed. She never heard a word. And then she came to church and she was all smiles, wanted to give a testimony. Here's Roz's testimony. Navajo Housing has a general office in Window Rock, Arizona, which is the capital of the Navajo Nation. But they have a branch office in Shiprock. And so she'd been checking with them on a regular basis. How's it coming? No, we'll get to you. 10 years passed. And she, when she came in, and she gave us this testimony publicly, she said, I've been paying my tithes 10 years. And I've had this application in 10 years for a house. And under the program, it's income-based rent. It's low-income housing. Beautiful houses. And so she said she'd go by the office, and they'd just pass her off, give her an excuse. But she said, I went in this week, and she said, they handed me my paperwork on my new house. And then they told her the story. She said that they pointed her to a file cabinet that had a stack of papers, applications, stacked on top of the file cabinet. And she said the inspector from Window Rock came to Shiprock, inspecting the Shiprock branch office, and he went down to the bottom of the pile, and he got hold of the last application at the very bottom, and he yanked it out, and it was hers. And he handed it to this office supervisor, and he looked at it, saw it as a 10-year-old application. It was all filled out, it was all in order, and he asked her, why doesn't this woman have a house? And the truth is, they give their housing to their relatives. So she was caught, busted. So that day, Roz got a new house. It may take your miracle while to come, but if you'll stay in faith with God, God is never late. He's always on time. May not be your schedule, may not be on your timetable, but God will never go back on his word. God will fulfill, God will bless. So God says, I'll open the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing that's more than you can contain. Then he says in that same passage in Malachi, you're cursed with a curse. Cecil dealt with this a little bit. But let me just give you, I forget what we said downstairs and upstairs, Cecil, but let me just explain to you a curse, and Cecil elaborated on this downstairs a little bit. But when God says there's a curse, it's not God zapping you because you're not. I don't know if Cecil remembers this, in my dad's church in Dove Creek, my dad was a legalist. I don't know if you're aware of that, but in our church, Cecil was, I think it's for Cecil, was born in the old church downstairs. Somebody gave my dad a bunch of banners. You know those triangles look like sports banners? And it had all kinds of, and he strung them on a wire across the whole front of the church. And they were all very condemning, legalistic messages. And one of them was, God is watching you. And I had this eye, and it had a big picture of an eye on it. And everywhere you sit in that church, that big eye was looking at you. And so I kind of grew up with my image of God was a big eye in the sky, and he he was waiting for me to mess up, and then he's going to send a bolt of lightning out and zap Freddy right there. But I was like, Cecil, I got delivered from all of that. But yet the Word of God says, you're cursed with a curse because you don't tithe. And I labored over that and studied that for a long, long time. And then I realized when I found the Word of God says, I put before you curses and blessings, life and death, therefore choose life. So the curse is not a punishment or a judgment from God for not tithing. God loves you whether you tithe or not. If you don't tithe, you will still go to heaven. You'll get there broke, but you'll go. So let me give you... Malachi says, you're cursed with a curse because you've robbed me. And then you ask, how are we cursed? And God says, it's your tithes and offerings. And then in 1 Corinthians, we just kind of dealt with this. 1 Corinthians 11:30. This is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you are asleep, because you do not discern or see the church the way God sees it. God sees the church as his body with him the head. It's impossible to have a real relationship with the head and hate the body. Are you hearing me? What if I said to my wife, I love your face, but your body's the pits? I know what would happen. You'd be at my funeral. But yes, that's what happens with Christians in the church. I respect Jesus, but I just have problems with congregations and pastors, and I just can't. They're, you know, got all the cliches about them. You've heard the story. There's no perfect church because the church is made up of people, and people aren't perfect. If you find a perfect church, some people are always looking for the perfect church. Never can find the perfect church. Well, if you ever find the perfect church, for heaven's sakes, don't go there. You'll ruin it. Because you're not perfect. My friend Brother Reese up in Webb City, he told me the story. There was a couple visited his church one Sunday morning, and they passed out the visitor's card. And his style was every Monday he would take those cards and go house to house visiting them, make a personal call. And so a couple visited his church there at Frisco Church, and so he went to see them, and they drank coffee together, and he asked them, well, how'd you like the service? How do you like our church? And they said, oh, it's wonderful. The music was awesome, and the church was friendly, and boy, Pastor, your message was, you hit it out of the park, just awesome. And then he said, well, we'd be glad to see you come back again. They said, no, we won't be back. And they said, you just told me how good it was. Now you're not going to come? I don't get it. And they said, well, we know everybody in this town. And we were sitting over on this side of the church, and we saw a couple over on that side, and we know they're hypocrites. We can't go to church where there's hypocrites. And Brother Reese said, well, he said, don't let them stop you. He says, two more won't hurt. Believe it or not, they came back. So Cecil, one of the reasons I'm standing up here stuttering is because I picked up the wrong set of notes. I got the one for the convention. Do you have the one you passed out?
We would be right there, white tithe.
White tithe. Okay, I guess that page is the right one. It was the other. Okay, I don't know. This one just got mixed up. Excuse us a minute while we take care of some. Why should you tithe? Here's one. Ooh. Number one, God does not need your money. 1 Corinthians 10:26, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If God owns the earth, he created all the gold and the silver and all the other minerals in it, why in the world would he need your little tithe? God doesn't need our tithe. I had a man look me in the face. I was pastoring in Texas. And I went to him that's mad at the church about something. I went over to talk to him. I was the new pastor, and I didn't do things the way the other pastor did. And so this older couple, they didn't like it, what I was doing. And this guy, old guy, looked me in the face, and he said, Pastor, we're going to starve you out. And I looked him right back, and I said, you're not big enough to starve me out. God's bigger than you. And they quit tithing, but guess what? The church went on. God will take care of the church. God will take care of the body. If you want in on the blessing of that, God will bless you. But if you don't want to give your money, keep your money. God only blesses, wants the willing offering, the love offering. And so the only one. And at times I've got mad at the association and didn't send them my tithe. I didn't like what they're doing. They just kept going. I thought they'd fold up without my tithes. But they just kept going. Cecil even got to be the treasurer. But the earth is the Lord's. God is not, tithe is not for us to support. God, tithe is. Tithe is opens the relationship and the covenant fellowship so God can start funneling money to you. It's a covenant relationship. Psalms 51:12 says, God said, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. Because the earth is mine and the fullness is mine. Psalms 51, verse 9, God says, and this is a continuation of the other scripture I just read. But God said, I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens, for I have every animal on the forest is mine, and the cattle on the thousand hills. God says, I already own it. I know every bird in the mountains and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. I do not eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats. Sacrifice, thank offerings. That's what tithe is. Tithe is our way of saying, thank you, God, for giving me space on your green earth. Thank you, God, for the air you let me breathe. Thank you, God, for the job you let me have. Thank you, God, for my income, whether it's a retirement check or Social Security. God is the source. We have a lot of discussion going on at the federal government. Well, what's going to happen to Social Security? And what's going to happen to your IRA? Let me tell you something. Uncle Sam's not your source. God is. God will take care of the tither. I don't care if your income is fixed. That's a man-made term. God never said that. God has not fixed your income. God, my God, will supply all your need according to his riches in glory, not Washington. God is in charge. I like Donald Trump. I don't mind telling you I voted for him. Cecil and I disagreed on him. And who was the one you liked? Cruz. I told him Trump was going to win. He don't ever listen to me. But But I'm not counting on Trump. He's a big real estate guy, billionaire. But God owned real estate before anybody heard of Donald Trump. Trump's not your source. Government's not your source. My God will supply all your need. So our tithe is a thank offering to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High God and call upon me in a day of trouble, and I will deliver you and you will honor me. That word honor shows up again over in Proverbs chapter 3. I'm not going to go there to save time. But it says, honor the Lord with the first fruits. That's another word for tithing. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase. All your increase. By the way, let's define the word all. What part of all is hard to understand? All means all. It means your increase. I don't have time to get over to the what is tithe, but I'm just going to stop with the why. But we honor God because God says honor, our tithe is honoring God. It's our thank offering up to God. And God says, I appreciate your thanks. You honor God, God says, I'll honor you with increase. I'll honor you. All means 10%. The word tithe means the tenth. And it means, I have this question in Shiprock all the time. Well, when I pay tithes, is that on my check or my husband's check? It's all. What about my income tax refund? All. There is a caveat on your income tax refund. Depends on if you tithe on your net or your gross. If you tithe on your take-home pay, they've already held out your taxes before your money you're tithing. So the word is increase. Honor the Lord of the first fruits of all your increase. And if you're if you tithe on your take-home pay, if you work for wages, when your income tax refund comes, you haven't tithed on that yet. But some people, I've known people who did tithe on what they said your gross income was. If you tithe there, your income, your refund check comes, it's already been tithed on. Hello. You can take your wife to Walmart. But all, I pastored in Kansas where Mrs. And I was pastoring her family out there. There's a farm community. There's a couple families out there tithed to me of their produce that didn't go through their cash accounts. We had garden produce that was a tenth of the produce. We had tithe of a farmer went and had a beef butchered. I like that. We got 10%. Tithe is, by the way, is the first fruit. Sometimes we didn't get the steaks. We got the oxtail, but... but according to your faith, be it unto you. Brother Cecil, I'm running out of time. I'm not nearly done, but this is a good place to stop, brother. Thank you for having me. Thank you for listening. Thank you. It's always good to be here.
So there were several of you who were not down in the first session. Just let me share with you where I've been in the last couple weeks, actually, about the issue of tithing. You know, since 2011, when I came to understand the grace and the love of God, and I used to, it settled the fact that I'm a son. And I'm never going to curse my son. I have a lot of faults. I'm human, and I still have a human nature. But even in my faulty human nature, I'm not going to curse my kids. No matter what they do, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to curse my kids. I'm not going to pronounce a curse over them. So if God, who is fully righteous, and God is good, you know, you look up the word goodness in the dictionary. You look it up yourself in the dictionary. You look up the word goodness. It means, it'll be brackets right there, and it comes from godness. See, God does not merely have a quality of being good. He is good. If God ceased to exist, all good in the world would cease to happen, would be, because goodness ceased to exist. So when I came into grace, that issue right there with Malachi, how does that fit in with grace, where God says you are under a curse? And so I haven't taught a lot on that, because I had seen that, I was thinking that that was a curse of the law. And so that was in my mind. It was an issue that I've wrestled with until a week and a half ago. Many of you know my brother, friend, Pastor Bill Hackworth, brother in the Lord. And he mentioned something about, maybe that's not talking about a curse from God. And that's the way he presented it, as an idea. And then the Lord started ministering to me, and he said, did you hear what he said? Why have you assumed that that curse comes from me, from God? And I looked at that passage, and it doesn't say that God has cursed you, or if you don't tithe, God has put you on a curse. It doesn't say that. It says that you are cursed, okay? And then the Holy Spirit said, that is a system that is outside the kingdom of God, and that people have freedom of choice. And that's what God has given us in His creating of us, is a freedom to choose, a freedom of will, a freedom of choice. God has given us the freedom to choose. And in the Old Testament, Brother Freddie quoted it, God says, I put before you blessings and cursing, life and death. Therefore, choose. Do you get that? Choose life. And so then there are kingdom principles that bring prosperity to our lives, healing to our lives, salvation to our lives, deliverance to our lives, all kinds of things under the kingdom of God. But we have the choice, even as Christians, we can choose to live under a system of cursing. Okay? So I use a little different illustration, but this illustration came to me while I was sitting there. You know that, or if you read it all, Detroit, the city of Detroit, is being overrun by Muslims. And they are being somewhat successful in getting Sharia law to be considered in the court systems there. My goodness. Sharia law is the way of death. Ladies, you lose all freedoms that you have in your life, and your husband has a right to beat you whenever he feels like that it's necessary. So we have a community in Detroit, and people have the choice to be under Sharia law or not. There's a lot of Muslims there. They have the freedom to not be under that curse. I want to tell you, Sharia law is a curse. So that's the illustration that I see in Malachi, is that if we are not living in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is this, give, and it shall be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And he talked about it last in the first session, that God, and he did this one too, God doesn't need our money, God doesn't need the tithe, but God has established the blessing of the tithe for us. See, he is really after our heart. He said, all this stuff is mine already, and if I was hungry, I wouldn't even tell you that. So God has all that. But the reason of the tithe is for our good and not his. And so you've seen the transformation in me since 2011, those of you who have been here. But I am glad in the last 2 weeks to get this thing settled. God still gives you the freedom of choice to live under kingdom principles or to go ahead and live over here under a curse. But let's choose over here where the window of heaven is. You see that? The window of heaven is not over here under this system. The window of heaven is over here. So, you know, we have a brother in our fellowship that one day God says, tithe on what you want your income to be. Whoa! He's putting God to the test. God said, oh, go ahead and try this out. Check it out, buddy. Son, check it out. And he started tithing on what he wanted his income to be. And guess what happened? He passed the test. That test proved faithful to God. His income came up to where he was tithing. Amen? So we have to get out of this mindset that money is intimate and we can't share about it, we can't talk about it. But as a pastor, I have a responsibility to teach you about the blessed life. And if I'm going to talk about the blessed life, we're going to talk about money in God's kingdom and what it's how his kingdom works. Amen? And what does the scripture say? God loves the cheerful giver. That doesn't mean God doesn't love the grumper, you know, the grumpy giver. It's just we're a whole lot better off in our attitude and our response toward God if we see that we have the freedom to choose a system. And I choose a system of God's blessing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that can come in many ways. There's so many stories, testimonies of tithing, people not tithing, started tithing, and they got a job, and they got a pay raise, and then they got a house. I'm going to tell you, the blessed stories are endless. Hallelujah. The Bible says this in Proverbs 4:23. He says, guard your heart with all diligence, for it determines the course of your life. Tithing is a heart issue. It's not a money issue. It's a heart issue. So if you look at the course that your life has been living on, is your life the bag with the hole in it, the pocket with the hole in it? If that's the course of our life, we don't need to look at our check. We need to look at our heart. Because when we give our heart evidence of God's principles, I'm going to suggest he's going to sew up the bag, he's going to sew up the hole in the bag and the hole in your pocket. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're going to receive a love offering for Brother Freddie because the scripture does say those who minister to us the word of God, we have a responsibility to minister to him in the physical needs, the temporal needs here in this world. So we're going to do that. And God bless you. Fran will be back there. I would encourage you to get one of those books. It's in much more detail. You know that it's only, you know, he can only hit the high points up here. But I encourage you to get that, and I know you'll be investing not only in his ministry, but you're investing in your own life as these principles are in detail in the book. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for freedom, the freedom of choice, of choosing which system we're going to operate under. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Now, God, as this brother, Lord, as Brother Freddie travels back home, I pray, Father, the safety and protection over him. And, Lord, thank you that the funds of heaven are his. We are calling down your will in heaven be done on earth. And we know that it is not your will that your people suffer lack, but be blessed and abundantly so. Father, those who need a job, I thank you that they grab hold of the principles of the kingdom to see supernatural influence in their life and say, wow, look what God has done. So Father, we thank you for helping us grab hold of the principles of heaven that bring blessing in our lives. God, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.